This is Jody Apple.
Let's get started. This week's theme, Search the Scriptures, comes from Acts 17:11, where we read this. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Today's focus, the difference between the responses of those in Thessalonica and in Berea. Let's consider the passages for today, Acts 17, verse 5 and following. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and brought them to the people. They dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." And they troubled the crowd and rulers of the city when they heard these things. And in verse 13, but when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Those are selections from verses 5 through 8 and verse 13. And compare this with Acts 17:11 and 12. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women, as well as men. Let's think about these passages. What are the differences that existed between the responses of the Thessalonians and the Bereans? First, let's note this. Their attitudes differed. Negatively, the Thessalonians avoided the gospel. Positively, the Bereans accepted the gospel. Why? The Jews were convinced that what they believed and practiced was right. Their beliefs were anchored to the 1,500-year-old law of Moses at that time. From their perspective, if what they believed was divinely ordained for that amount of time, why should they change now? This line of thinking caused the Jews to stone Stephen. Their allegations, no doubt, were consistent with the thinking of the Jews in Thessalonica, as presented in the following text, Acts chapter 6, verses 8 and following. Here's what that passage says. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." Note their contentions. They said he, Stephen, spoke blasphemous words against Moses in verse 11. They said that he spoke blasphemous words against God in verse 11. They said that he, Stephen, spoke blasphemous words against the temple, this holy place, in verse 13. And finally, they said he spoke blasphemous words against the law, again, verse 13. Note also their evidence. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us, verse 14. The evidence that they rested their case on was, of course, misguided. Jesus did not speak about the destruction of the temple, but about the destruction, that is, the death of his own body. Jesus said, and others understood, something else. In Matthew 26:61, we read this. This fellow said, "I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." Matthew 27:40, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Matthew 27:63, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise.'" Note also, that the expression "change the customs which Moses delivered to us" was also misunderstood and misapplied. Their thinking, and this is understandable, was that Jesus was going to destroy or ruin their religious system. But that wasn't the proper perspective. Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Fulfilling it, of course, changed it in many ways. But the many ways in which the law was changed were God-ordained and better for those who followed God's lead. What Stephen taught in Acts chapter 6 and in Acts 7, and what Paul taught here, was not contrary to God, not contrary to Moses or the temple or the law. It was God's directive that prompted Paul's teaching. In fulfillment of the Mosaic law, it introduced something much bigger than either the temple or the law. It heralded the gospel of Christ and God's plan for redemption through Christ's blood for all peoples, Jews and Gentiles. Here's what's interesting about this attitude. If the Jews who had this mindset here expressed the same mindset 1,500 years earlier, they would not even have entertained what Moses was at that time newly introducing at Sinai. The patriarchal law had roots as far back as Adam, nearly 2,500 years before Moses. Jesus often compared the Jews who challenged him with the Jews who challenged the prophets. His point was this: you, not just the contemporary Jews that he faced, but you and your ancestors and all who manifest this attitude have always resisted the spirit and message of God. Matthew 23:31. That's the point that Stephen made in Acts chapter 7. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." His remarks parallel Christ's statement in Matthew we just alluded to, where Jesus said, "Therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" That's Matthew 23:31-33. So the attitude was different between the Thessalonians and the Bereans. But in the next place, their actions differed. Negatively, the attitudes addressed above by the Thessalonian Jews was more than just an attitude problem. They acted on them. They brought Christians before magistrates, forced them to pay bail, and accused them falsely. They caused an upheaval in their own city and even in Berea as well. Positively, the Bereans showed respect for Paul. They showed an interest in his message, and finally, they demonstrated faith in God. In the next place, their beliefs differed. At one point, both the Jews in Thessalonica and in Berea believed the same thing. Both believed that the Mosaic law was God's law. There was nothing wrong with that. I even believe that, but not in the same way that they did. At one point, our country was governed by the Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union, but what functioned as our first constitution was superseded by a new constitution and a new form of government. I believe that the first one existed, but I do not believe that it is binding on us today. The law of Moses was God's first constitution for his people, but spiritual Israel is under a new constitution today, designated as the perfect law, the law of liberty, James 1:25. What separated the Jews in Thessalonica, those who rebuffed Paul and his message, from those in Berea who accepted both, was a willingness to consider something new that was not really new. While the Articles of Confederation did not divinely predict a new constitution, the law of Moses did. By design, God gave a law that was holy, just, and good, but a law that could not save souls from sin. That's what we read in Romans 7:12, and then again in chapter 3, verses 20 through 23. That law anticipated the gospel of Christ. that law, was a schoolmaster that brought us to Christ, Galatians 3:24. Israel was a child under tutors and governors until the time of Christ, Galatians 4, 2, and 3. The law was a shadow of things to come, but Christ was the reality, Colossians 2:17. The Old Testament law of Moses revolved around meats, drinks, washings, fleshly ordinances, but Christ brought a greater reality, Hebrews 9:10. The law became obsolete, but the covenant of Christ was permanent, Hebrews 8:13. The Thessalonian Jews did not see this, or at least they did not believe it, but the Berean Jews did. Should we act on the strength of our convictions? Should we act on what we believe to be true? Yes, but the strength of our convictions does not make our beliefs true. It only makes them strong. We must make sure that what we believe to be true is in fact really true. Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." The Jews believed that Jesus denied the law. Stephen's enemies believed that he, that is Stephen, denied the law. And the Thessalonian Jews believed that Paul denied the law. All three were wrong. Jesus upheld what the Old Testament scriptures meant, not what his contemporary audience thought they meant. That's the point of his refrain in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, but, and then he would give the original intent of the Old Testament text. We see that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, verse 27, verse 33, and verse 43. Stephen and Paul, under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, taught what the Old Testament scriptures meant. While the Bereans investigated and found it to be true, the Thessalonians apparently refused to do so. We should never let the strength of our convictions deter us from examining truth claims. Those who claim to follow Christ today must do likewise.